Welcome to For the Record, an unfiltered view on current trends and timeless advice for surviving in the aesthetics industry. Whether you're an injector, practice owner, sales rep, or marketer, it's time to set the record straight. Each week, we cut through the chaos and showcase diverse perspectives and winning ideas from the best minds in the industry. I'm your host, Dr. Tiffany Hall, Chief Growth Officer at Aesthetic Record. Now, let's get started on this week's episode.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of For the Record. Today we have a treat, another Texas gal coming in hot from Canada. Last night she flew in this morning after a series of delays. We have none other than the famous, the fabulous Shakira Cabrera, who is a physician's associate in San Antonio, Texas, also the founder of Jules Med Spa and co-founder of the Injectors Club, which has all those amazing consultation pads and things you guys hear about on Instagram all the time. She also has a very active Patreon channel, and she's training literally all over the country and obviously internationally because she came from Canada last night and doing all the things. We met, I don't know, in person for the first time a few weeks ago at an AAI cadaver event in Austin, not San Antonio. But I've been following her journey for quite some time, waiting for her to come to Aesthetic Next, waiting for her to come on the podcast, and she's finally here, and she's coming to AN this year as well. So I'm getting all my dreams to come true in one fell swoop. So Shakira, welcome to our show.
Oh, Tiffany, I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
Well, I've been watching your skyrocket or your meteoric rise to fame recently. Well, it's been going on for a long time. I think since 2018, you've been full throttle aesthetics, but you're doing all the things. So we're going to unpack today, first of all, how you stay sane, because you are doing a lot, how it feels to be a business owner right now and the climate that we're, you know, what we're working in right now as a business owner, but also the injection landscape is changing, as you know, drastically. We're doing cadaver labs every day and all these different things, and where you fit into all that and what you're trying to solve with Injectors Club, with your own practice, with what you and Erica are doing on the business front. So let's unpack all the things today, Shakira, all the things.
I'm ready.
All right, let's start with where in the heck did you come from? Because you've been here for a hot minute, sister. So give us an idea of your background.
So I've been a PA for about 17 years. And before I got into aesthetics, I was mostly in the hospital, did a lot of inpatient, actually did only inpatient, never did any clinic work, did cardiology, neurology, was a contractor for the military working at the Level 1 Trauma Center here. And then met my hubby. We ended up getting married, traveled to Washington. And then when we came back, the only contract for PAs in the military was trauma and plastic surgery. So I took that job and I cried every day for a year because trauma surgeons are a different culture in and of itself. But I honestly believe that just being able to have that experience where we were basically putting together patients that had horrible things happen to their body, transitioning them to getting them back to life and what that life would look like. And some of them I was able to work in both trauma surgery and plastic surgery. And that's where I really fell in love with just the aesthetics aspect and how it can actually truly affect a human being in more ways than we understand. But I couldn't keep working like 6 p to 8 a Friday, Saturday, Sunday with a baby and a family. And so then I decided to do a little bit of emergency medicine work that was more shift work and decided to take a course. And then my second course in aesthetics ended up being taught by Miss Erica Berry, who is now a really close friend of mine. And I just kind of continued to train. And that was first in August of 2018. And so just continued to take courses and eventually ended up teaching and owning my own practice.
I think there's probably a lot of training in between the starting with Erica and now, if I had to guess. But, you know, it's interesting. Larry Blevins has kind of a similar story, doing a lot of reconstructive work and also plastic surgery and trauma surgery. And so I think about that. You know, how much more do you know because of that experience? I think about cadaver labs. You were phenomenal in the cadaver lab with Sally Santos a few weeks ago. You know so much more about what goes on below the skin. So how do you think, as a person coming in that doesn't have that experience, like, where does that set you apart or make you different? I would say better, but you may not want to say that, but better, at least in understanding what's going on below the surface.
No, absolutely. I'm very grateful for the experience that I had in at BAMC, the Level 1 Trauma Center here, because I did scrub in with facelifts on patients. I scrubbed in abdominal, you know, reconstructions with patients that had trauma and then now were needing to be put back together. I did lipo. So I was able to see all that anatomy way before I even did injections, which I think helped me grow quicker, grow faster, because I understood it.
Yeah, I was just talking to a group. We're doing the core hands-on training in aesthetic necks, and they're talking about, let's teach tear troughs, let's teach this. And I said, what if we just master like the basic anatomy? If you know where things are at and what you can put where and what it will do to the tissue when you put it there, you can really do whatever you want, because the core aspect, the core architecture of it is understood and defined. So at that point, it's just a matter of which thing and what part of the face do you want to do it. But you know, the core infrastructure, if you will, of the tissue and the planes of injection and the G prime and the rheology, all these things are kind of known. So, you know, I think that that's a part that injectors now maybe are missing some of that. They get so obsessed with like the indication area and the problems they're going to solve. They forget about higher level thinking of just, is it safe to put it here? And if I do, where do I put it and how much do I put in there? And then, you know, go forth and prosper. But so you spend a lot of time doing training. As I said, you just came back from training. So as you think about your journey coming into aesthetics and what all you did along the way, what does your gut tell you right now about, are we training people enough, or do we have good enough training out there, and are new injectors exposed enough to understanding what they don't know to want to invest in coming to things like what you and Erica are doing or what you're doing in your own practice?
Yeah, I think the culture's definitely shifting. I think now, in the beginning, when I first came in 5 years ago, it was more of, hey, let's take this crash course and I'm going to go out there and I'm going to learn Botox and fillers in one day. And now I'm going to go step faces. And I, as the culture has changed in aesthetics and we're seeing and understanding complications more, and we have ultrasound and we have cadaver labs, where it's becoming the norm, which is my passion, is aesthetics should have its own residency program or a training program of some sort, whether that's in the medical or in the nursing setting or in PA school or in the medical schools. But definitely feel like the attitude has shifted. Even the injectors that we saw and met this last weekend, a lot of them had extensive training, but then it's more like, just show me the injection. That's great. A trained monkey can do that, you know, but why are you going there? What is the anatomy under there? And that's what I think still needs to be improved on as an industry altogether.
Yeah. When we go on this podcast each week, we hear this almost, I don't know, almost every single week. And all of us who would want to help build that are too busy doing other things to do it. You know, to think about a true curriculum that we all adhere to, that we think about certification levels, and, you know, to say that you're a master or an advanced injector, that should have some sort of a criteria that you have to meet. Because to me, it's misleading to the public. You know, you would never say that you are a board certified physician unless you're board certified. But we have no rules here. You can kind of say whatever you want to say about yourself. And if it looks good on social media, hey, you're it. So I think there is like this massive gap that we have right now in credentialing people, but also just knowing what the credential even means and what the level of expertise is. But that leads me to Injectors Club. I want to get into your business acumen in a minute, because that's where I just think I fall in love with you and think about business. But Injectors Club, you're doing a lot with that. What was the impetus for that? What was the spark to kind of build this thing? You know, you and Erica coming together, thinking about all these. By the way, guys, if you haven't gone to the website, she's got amazing tools in there. You can buy like all kinds of great tools. But just thinking about that, what problem are you trying to solve there that you think you can do, at least incrementally, with, you know, who you're able to touch in the short term?
Yeah, Injectors Club honestly was just, it fell out of the sky. It literally did. It was not anything that Erica and I definitely plan in advance. We were doing a training here in San Antonio, both of us doing 8-point lift training that sold out in 2 days, and did 2 days worth of trainings back to back with about 20 injectors each day. I can't remember. And the theme, and even while we were up there in Canada this past weekend, the theme continued to be, I'm a new injector. I open up my own practice. I don't know what I'm doing. And whether that was in injectable, like in actual technique, but a lot of it was business. Like, how do I learn the business aspect of things? And we were here talking, and then she was doing a Patreon episode, because this was before I had my own Patreon. And she was talking about the consultation and how you get the patient in the chair and how you book it. And then I showed her my consultation pad that I put together for myself, because I was tired of writing things in little paper. And I was like, it needs to be more professional. It needs to be something the patient takes home, something that they see my handwriting and they think about me, because I want to build that connection. And then she was like, we need to help other injectors get this in their practice. And now it's flourished. And even in Canada, two of the injectors that took the course, they were like, it's transformed my practice. My books are fuller. My patients understand the plan. They're happier. And so that's what gives us joy, is being able to help other injectors get to where we're at. Because not everybody has access to a business coach or friends that are already successful that are doing it that you can ask advice from. So that's kind of how Injectors Club happened. And then everybody was like, we need to know more about a med spa. I want to open up my med spa. So then we have Med Spa 101. How do I understand my numbers? How do I know my revenue? Then it was like knowing your business. And so just little things like that, hearing the requests from the need of other injectors and business owners is kind of where we literally just go one month to the next.
Well, I love it because I think the business part of it, you know, the consultants are really heavy in our industry talking about, like, I do a lot of business courses and business coaching people. I know that there's many others, but we don't own practices. Like, I feel like I'm pretty close to it because we're involved in so many practices here, and we have, of course, some sister companies. But, you know, I don't do what you do all day long, and nor do any of the consultants who are in this industry who, you know, have experience here, but not what you have. So I think coming from your perspective, Erica's perspective, it's just different because you're trying to be an injector and an owner and a mother and a wife and a trainer. And, you know, you're doing all the things. You're walking the walk, talking the talk. So I think it does feel different. But, you know, to that point, I think about a consulting pad. It's like the 3M post-it note. Who knew that that little post-it note would change the world? You know, it's like the small things, but you mentioned handwriting it out. I think it forces you to actually give a plan. Like, you have to think about a plan, but also people still want paper. They still want to have a letter come to their house in the mail, not email. So I feel like it's still meeting like this nostalgic need that we have to feel connected to the person who's across from us. But I think it's genius. And if you guys haven't gone, go online and look at all the different things. This is not a sponsored podcast, but I love what you guys are doing. But that brings into like your part as a business person. So thinking about what you know and what you hear when you're out in the marketplace, you have obviously staff in your practice. So everyone always wants to know or always asks me, how do you find great staff? How do you hire them? How do you train them? How do you make them mini Shakiras to do it your way, the Jules way? What does that whole process look like for you? And how much time do you spend on that in a given week to keep your practice like optimally staffed?
Ooh, I can go on another whole podcast just with that, Tiffany. But no, I have a passion for that too. So for MAs, honestly, my MA was a patient of mine's sister. And we interviewed her, and then we just kind of fell in love. And the front desk, it was just word of mouth as well, which has definitely helped us find good people. And then for injectors, I hired two previous nurses who took my courses. And then a nurse practitioner that just started hounding me, like, are you hiring? Are you hiring? Are you hiring? But that being said, once I'm very particular, like, once they get in, they have, like you said, there is a brand. There is a brand that we stand by. And I talked about that this weekend, is patients come to you for a reason. And the brand has to be the whole practice. It can't just be me. If it's me, then I'm failing. So with our team outside of the injectors, we all meet with them one-on-one. And then we talk one-on-one with them once a month. And it's called their one-on-one sessions. And in the beginning, when they first came on board, they're like, am I in trouble? Did I do something? I'm like, no, no, no. This is how we kind of connect with everyone, make sure that we are helping you reach your goals as a team member here in Jules. And then we give them our goals of what we want to advance the practice all together. And we do that with everyone from front desk to MA to SD. And then my injectors, I meet with them one-on-one and they get time with me personally. And I ask them, what do you want to train on? What do you want to grow? Where do you see yourself in 1 year? Where do you see yourself in 3 years, in 5 years? Because I want them to grow with us, not on their own. Not that that would be a bad thing, but my job as like their mentor, so to speak, is to help them grow and get to where they're at a lot faster than it took me to get here. And that actually has transformed my practice. For my two new injectors that I just hired, I put them through an aesthetic residency with me. And that's 6 months long. So they don't get to see a new patient, like a pain patient, so to speak, until they get signed off on that. And that's where I do all the things. We talk about neurotoxin. They train on neurotoxin for a whole month. They have kind of hands-on sessions where I'm watching how they're doing consultations, how they're injecting their angles. And we do that for every procedure that we offer. And it's really, I think, helped and made it easier for like my other injector who's been with me for 2 years to be seamless, because I want the experience for the patient when they're in the chair, whether they're in my chair or Claire's chair, to be the same. It has to be the Jules experience, the Jules brand. And that's really kind of helped me maintain that. But it's a lot of work.
You just spoke to all the things that make my little heart sing, because I think about this a lot. And I'll ask you, this is a loaded question I ask everyone that I can get a good answer from. Do you want to hire them coming in fresh, novice, you know, like obviously have nursing skills, but, you know, be brand new, or they come over with like a Rolodex and they already have their own way of injecting? Which one do you prefer?
I prefer the brand new. I've had both. I actually presently do have both. The two nurses were brand new, had no experience. The nurse practitioner came from a plastic surgery office. She had some, but definitely not at the detail, you know, that we, at the standard that we have it at Jules. And so it's definitely easier to have just a blank canvas that you can draw on. But she's amazing, and she's been a trooper, and she's going through the residency, and she's so excited. She's like, oh my God, I didn't learn any of these things before working with plastic surgeons, because they didn't have the time. They were in the OR all the time. So, but yes, newer baby injectors for sure.
Well, I think you just mentioned the Jules way. I think it's hard to take someone who's really rooted in their procedure, their technique, their, you know, their purpose, how they do things, so they see the face, and say, okay, switch all that and do it our way. Because I don't know if either way is right or wrong. I don't mean that, but it's just hard to kind of change the entire way that you, you know, build the, you know, bake the cake from scratch. If you baked it your whole life a certain way. But I think to that point, it's also, even if someone is hired who comes in and has experience, it's what you just mentioned, going through all these skills, like a battery of skills test, to see when you say that you can do a really great tear trough or a really great temple, you know, these harder areas, what does that actually mean? I want to see your entire process, your before and after. How would you assess a patient? I think that we oftentimes, because we're desperate for help in many cases, you know, a lot of these entrepreneurs who have new practices are like, I just need to get patients in the door. I need to get here now and injectors who can inject. So she has a Rolodex, we're bringing her in. And they don't have the time to stop and think, is this person actually part of my brand and what I want to project to the world? Or are they just saying they have the skill set and they don't? Because it happens here all the time, right? I hire people here for jobs all the time that their resumes are perfect. And it's like, wait a minute, you can't do anything you said you could do. And then I'm doing half the work, you know, taking on the load because they couldn't do it. So I know firsthand that this really is, it's impactful for the practice in a bad way. I'm sure you felt it as well. You go to other places and see what's happened there. But number one issue with all practices right now is hiring and retaining people. It's a big issue. How do you get them to stay with you? Because you mentioned, you know, going out on their own. That's a big risk too. It's like you spend all this time training them, and then they'd say, you know what, Shakira, I'm an amazing injector now, as good as you are. I'm going to open up, you know, Jules Part Do down the street and compete with you. How do you prevent that?
I get that question asked all the time, even this past weekend. I think it's a normal fear as a business owner, and even as on top of that, an injector that you've poured your heart and soul and taught them everything that you know. And I can't control it as of now, thank God it hasn't happened to me. But I treat my employees really well. They have everything. I train them and teach them anything that they want to learn. And the other thing I tell myself is not everybody wants to open a business. Like, it's a lot of work. You could say it, and I've had other friends that have had their NP or their PA that has tried to go, and then they come back because they're like, just kidding, that's a lot of work. And so if you want to do it, knock yourself out, sister, you know. But but yeah, so far it hasn't happened to me. I just mostly want to make sure, that's why I think the one-on-ones have really created that culture where we care. And Jules, we care. It's not just a practice. We want to see you grow, but we want you to grow with us. I don't know if that makes sense.
It does. I'm gonna have a hate mail after I tell you this, but that's okay. I'm used to hate mail. Is people who say I'm gonna only pay commission. First of all, guys, we all know that's illegal. It's called fee splitting. Don't do it. So if you're only paying commission, don't put it on freaking Instagram, by the way, because they will come for you, especially your competitors, because that will get you in the hot seat, you know, quicker than anything else. But I think part of that, forget the legality of it, is it keeps them from connecting to your practice. If I'm on commission only, I'm only connected to your patients, right? And slinging filler all day long. I'm not connected to you, Shakira, or to Jules, or to my teammates, because this is what a salary does. A salary roots you into someone's practice. It gives you productivity measures. It makes you part of a team. It gives you chances for advancement and to, you know, become, you know, at that point, I guess, really a master injector or a manager of other injectors, or, you know, a part of the practice as a director of clinical operations or whatever those things are, that matriculation of things. If you're a commission employee, like a 1099, basically commission employee, you can't mature with the practice. Like, you're kind of topped out at whatever you sell. So I think people who get caught up in this whole commission thing, it's not only not legally a good choice, but it's also prevents what you're doing to make them part of your world and to kind of encompass, you know, all things Jewel and put your arms around them and say, you're part of our team. You work here. You're, you know, you're a salaried employee and we're going to grow together. So I don't know what your thoughts on that, but I just, when I hear all this commission stuff, I get like really nervous. People have no idea what they're doing legally and what's going to happen to them and the ramifications of that. So what are your thoughts on that, sister?
No, I agree. And I think, I 100% agree. I think that's why you have to create a culture for them as well and give them those incentives. For example, with Claire, when I asked her, like, hey, where do you see yourself in 3 years? And she was like, I want to be an NP and maybe a trainer. I'm like, got it. Okay, game on. I'm going to help you get there. Now that's my goal as well. But that makes them feel like it's a family and they're not just coming here to get a paycheck. And yes, it does take a lot of work, but I think that's a failure that, like you mentioned, these practices that are just like, give me an injector. I don't care who it is. I just need somebody to staff bases. You're not creating a culture. And everybody, like my girls are like, I love to come to work. The moment I don't hear that, that's a problem that I'm doing. That's on me. So I want my team to be excited to come and to be excited to see patients, because that bleeds through patients as well. So ultimately, in my opinion, it's like that it comes from leadership and then really taking the time to get to know your team and help them with their goals. And yeah, money is nice and you can incentivize them occasionally. But to me, it's just more of the culture.
Well, it's funny you mentioned money. I had a practice who was having a really hard time with retention, and you know, they kept hearing, you don't pay enough, you don't pay enough. And we ask all these injectors in the exit interview, what do you think you're getting paid? And they had no idea what they actually got paid. They just had it in their mind that it wasn't enough, because they're seeing on social media that, you know, everyone's living these glamorous lifestyles with all their, you know, designer bags and such, without any sort of attention paid to what they actually make all day and what they're actually getting and what it means to not be the entrepreneur, what it means to not have to, you know, during COVID pay paychecks with no money coming in, or keep the lights on, or not let your lease go because you can't afford to pay your rent, you know, all the things that you and I have dealt with over the COVID years, these things that are not your problem when you're an entrepreneur, you know, when you're not the entrepreneur. So I think that there is a misalignment in our industry about payment and then working somewhere. But I think what you also said is that it doesn't happen all that often. We just hear about it when it's really egregious, and so everyone thinks it's going to happen constantly and they protect themselves from it. But I think it happens far less than we think. You're more likely to hire someone who's not good at their job than to hire someone who's going to leave you and open their own practice that will compete with you, I think. But to that point, moving right along, as far as like your business being successful, I know that you love KPIs, so do I. What are a few of like the key metrics that you look at, you know, on a daily or weekly or monthly basis and say, huh, we're successful because this number tells me that we're successful? Because I feel like that's another, again, a huge gap is like, what does our dashboard look like that tells us if we are actually doing a lot of activity, or are we actually being productive and profitable with our, you know, with the time that we're spending?
I could take that because I have KPIs for everything, Tiffany, like all the things.
What are the ones that no one's doing that they should be doing? What are the ones that you cannot live without when it comes to your money that you have to know?
So I do obviously my gross revenue and then my productivity for each provider per hour that they are seeing patients. And my goal is to see that productivity go up. And then I also track how full their schedule is, because then that lets me know. And it's, I have a 2 week, a 4 week, and a 6 week. And that lets me know, A, patients are happy with their results. They're happy with the consultation. They're happy with the experience. They want to come back and see Claire, or they want to come back and see Jess. And that is, for me, growth as a business owner, because that's less time I have to put in. So gross revenue, productivity for each provider, and how full the schedule is. And then my favorite one that I found out recently is, where are my patients coming from? I used to feel like, oh my God, I need to spend $10,000 on marketing. And yes, that might be true. But then I just pulled all the numbers for the last 2 years, and 40% of my patients are from patient referrals. I'm like, there we go. There's my free advertising. There's Practice Advocates running around all of San Antonio advertising about jewels. And it made me feel amazing that they weren't all coming from Instagram or they weren't coming from Google Ads. These are people that are happy about their service, happy about their results, and they're telling their friends about it.
Well, let's just park our car right there for just a quick minute, because this one right here just really burns me. It chaps my hide, as they say in Arkansas. People spend so much time on Instagram, like obsessively spending time on Instagram. And what you just said is what people need to know. They don't come from Instagram. Like, some do for sure, but they come from referrals and they come from your website, because no one goes on Instagram and decides that they're going to book with you. They go to your website and look at things. You know, they might think that, but they're going to actually go to the website and like look around, look at your before and after gallery, find out about you. So A, it has to be good. Website has to be good. So if you're doing Google Ads, obviously it has to be good also. But they come from word of mouth. And so I think people who spend so much time on Instagram, like, invest in your in-practice experience. Invest in what you're doing when they're in your front door. Because if you drive a lead to the front door and then you let them fall off in the front door and you don't have this amazing experience that they can really take home with them, right? Memorable experience. It feels great. I feel special, VIP, all that. They won't tell anyone else about you. So the time spent on Instagram, while it is valid, I feel like it's also largely for other injectors to see in many cases. We've had a big change in the industry where it's like injectors promoting to injectors about trainings and things, less about maybe patient outcomes. But I think it's all about the in-practice experience being truly remarkable. And that's what brings people back in and also brings in their friends, their family, their girlfriends, their boyfriends, all the people. But what is your sort of spend allocation on what you do for patients who are already kind of in your web to make them feel great versus what you're spending on, you know, acquisition of new leads coming into the practice?
Yeah, so for my patients that are, we have referral programs. We have, if it's somebody that's like been with me for a long time, she's brought in 15 of her friends, you know, I might throw in a free treatment here or there, or give her a free facial or free dermaplaning. Because at the end of the day, that's just called customer service. It doesn't cost you anything or very little to compare to what you would be spending in Google Ads, not knowing if you're going to hit anybody. Google Ads is like you're throwing a net out there and you're hoping to catch a fish and you don't know if you're going to catch one. And so we do little things like that, which I think helps elevate the patient experience, because then they're like, oh, this is already expensive, but Shakira loves me enough and is so grateful that she's going to throw this in. And then now they're connected and now they're loyal. And that's worked really well for us. And then my like other Instagram, or not other Instagram, other marketing budget is less than $2,000 a month. It's not a lot. Once I found the numbers of the 40%, I'm like, got it. Now I'm going to row the boat towards that. And how do I get, because if you think about it, if your friend is going to tell you, hey, I got this top and I love it and I got it from Amazon, you're going to go that same day and go to Amazon and order the top. I can't tell you, Tiffany, how many patients I've had that have watched me on Instagram for like 6 months before they decided to come in. But if it's their friend, if it's their sister, they're going to pick up that phone the same day, the next day, or a week later. It's not going to be 6 months to a year. And I've heard that so often that I'm like, okay, this is where I'm putting all my energy now.
Yeah. It's like, I got a guy. I feel like it's like the mafia. I got a guy that can help you do it. You know, if someone gives you the referral, you're going to go do it. But I think there is an interesting sort of misnomer about Instagram as a practice is you just have to have it. Like, it doesn't have to be amazing. You don't have to have the best content in the world. You don't have to have some mind-boggling, incredible content, because you're not trying to be an influencer, right? And no practice is going to become an influencer with 100,000 followers. It's just not realistic. But you have to have it because you got to check a box. Website probably should be a little bit better than Instagram, because again, it's kind of how Google finds you, and they are going to look local SEO. They are going to try to find you. You know, San Antonio Botox near me, they're going to try to find you. Obviously, you want to rank there. But I agree. It's like people who come to your practice who already love you, to make them fall in love with you even more. It's like, you know, I just heard about this week. Somebody mentioned this. To get a divorce and start dating all over again, it's hard. Just make up with your husband. Like, quit fighting with him. Like, it's a different mentality of like, don't start all over again. Just go with where you already have fanfare and make it even bigger. But, you know, to that point, if you think about like local SEO and doing things like that, I get asked a lot too about local events. Do you do, you know, partnerships with local salons or boutiques or, you know, local charities and events? How do you kind of work within the San Antonio umbrella to make your presence known?
Yes, I love working with what we call micro influencers in the San Antonio community. I initially got burned really bad working with bigger influencers in San Antonio, and it never got me anywhere. But I join with businesses that are in the beauty industry, so makeup artists, and then photographers, a couple of just regular small business that are local, but they're owned by whether that's my patient or the other one is a cryo place because it's all about health. Yes, I have found that like building those business relationships with these other businesses that kind of want to get their name out there too has given us some patients because they'll refer them to us. And that's been, again, practice advocates. I'm really big on practice advocates and how you can build that network is crucial to success. But yes, I love building relationships with some of the small business owners in San Antonio that are all about health and wellness and improving patient care.
Yeah, so being in the communities that you serve. And I have a lot of injector friends who own businesses who think that they can do it all with SEO and all with Google Ads. Like, man, you can't. There's like a sensitivity chip missing in that case. You gotta touch folks. You gotta make them personify you as like a real person with a real business that's really investing in their community. We had Lonnie Green on a few seasons ago, the Ninja Injector, and he talked about that a lot. Like, they really pour into their community because that's what leads them into all these other, you know, markets and neighborhoods and things they would never otherwise have access to, because Joe tells Sally, who tells Karen, who tells Frank, you know, kind of just what you mentioned. But, you know, thinking through that now, you have a busy practice. You guys are looking at metrics and things, you know, doing all the things. I think about productivity measures as how do you get more out of an injector without having them do more things, right? Like, how do you maximize the time in a chair or sell them more things? I just had a talk with RVL. They had a national sales meeting about retail and like Upnique, things that don't require a person to physically do anything. How much of your time is focused on thinking about like ancillary things you can add on to the sell, whether it's skincare, whether it's like an Upnique or Latisse or, you know, supplements and vitamins and things to maximize your providers actually doing things that they can only do, like, you know, actually injecting that they have to do versus recommending things that are just retail passive sells?
Yeah, I tell my team skincare and Upnique is low hanging fruit. It's there. You just have to open your mouth and talk about it. And then the other thing is every woman wants skincare. They, whether they buy it from Nordstrom's, La Mer, spend $700, or they get it at Walmart, it doesn't matter. They just want good stuff for their skin. So it's our job to just educate. And and teaching them the consultation process has really helped, along with the one-on-ones and just reviewing every month, what's your revenue per hour? This is where you should be. This is where you're falling short. How can we get you there? And because they were not kind of hitting that, and we discussed skincare as the easy market, because that could easily be an additional 300 to 500, I started bringing on the reps. And so every quarter, we'll bring on a skincare rep who brings lunch for the whole practice, and they review all the SKUs that we sell presently, what it's good for, how it would benefit the patient, because I don't have the time to do that. So I'm just going to have Elastin rep come in and just talk to my team and educate them. And that's really helped giving them confidence to be able to recommend a HA serum for Sally, who comes in and feels her skin is dry. So for me, it was a combination of education for them, getting them confident with the consultation process to just open their mouth and say, as you're wiping off the face, what are you using now for your skin? It really doesn't take a lot of time. And then doing those check-ins monthly with the productivity and say, hey, you sold $3,000 in skincare this last month. How can we get you to 5,000? And it's really rocketed in the last 6 months for us to where now it's like normal for them to at least be selling 3,000 to 5,000. But for us, it was education, consultation, and then accountability with the revenue per hour.
What I think that referrals are skincare also. You mentioned referrals that kind of made me think about it. Is I have friends who ask all the time, what do I use? What moisturizer are you using? What HA are you using? What, you know, they want to know what I'm using because they like my skin. So they want to go buy whatever I'm selling in a sense. And so I think it works the same way with the referral aspect. Is if your girlfriend has this amazing glowing skin, you ask what she's using. Oh, go see my girls at Jules. This is, here's what I get. Make sure you see, you know, Claire for this, or, you know, Shakira for this. It's all one big thing that all works together. So if you get your patients hooked on good skincare, they're going to refer not only to your practice, but also to what they're using as far as products. So to me, it's like it's paying dividends long term to really invest, to your point, like in that in-practice experience, the consultation, the sales, you know, the sales part of it. But the accountability part, I think, is what's really remarkable about what you're doing. Is like you're meeting with them every single month with all your employees to go through what they're doing well, where they have gaps, how to get better. we just don't hear that a lot in the med spa world. And so I feel like that right there sets you head and shoulders above what people are doing, because you're just making them accountable. Not just saying it, but like you have to actually deliver on the number. And if you don't, we're going to have a discussion how to get you there. So I love that so much, so much. Well
done.
And
at first, I thought it was going to be bad, right? I was like, oh, this is going to be a hard conversation. How do I tell her? You know, she's not hitting it. But honestly, now they get so excited. They're like, how are my KPIs? How am I doing? What can I grow with? Because everybody wants to do better. They all want to grow. They all want to be able to be hitting the goals, whether that's personal or the goals given to them. And so it's really just kind of changed their mindset and gotten them to be more productive.
Well, we do a thing here, you know, I think people have to learn how to be coached. It isn't a natural skill set for many folks. We're naturally defensive, or we, you know, feel sure of our ways. We have our employees on their like last and final interview. They have to present to us on Zoom, like they would to a customer for a aesthetic record, go through, they have to make their own presentation about something, and they have to deliver, you know, on the call. And then we coach them, like what went well, what didn't go well, where do you think you had a gap? How'd you get this topic? You know, we like take them through ways to improve. And if they get defensive in that moment and they're like, well, you know, I didn't have enough time for this or whatever else, we know they're not going to work here. Like they're not going to be able to be hired here. And so I think these sort of skills, battery testing and things in the interview process, have them come in and inject with you for, you know, half a day and coach them in the real, you know, in real time in the moment and see how they react. You can kind of assess early on if they're going to be coachable or approachable, or if they're going to be somebody who's going to dig in their heels and say, nope, I'm right, you're wrong, I'm not changing. And so I feel like you can skip a lot of headaches long term, but once you start coaching people, they get used to it. And then it becomes a normal part of, you know, they realize that whatever you're saying to them is making them get better. They start to trust you and believe in what you're saying and do what you ask them to do. And so, but it is a culture shift. I will tell you that even here, to be coached all the time is a culture shift, and also to be like transparent. And I can't always be like PC and sugarcoating things and like patting you on the head. It's like, hey, you screwed it up. We got to figure this out right now. So I don't know your thoughts on that, how you kind of assess their coachability early on as an employee.
The residency program kind of helps a lot. And then we start coaching them one-on-one from the get-go. Like our front desk team, that's when I mentioned in the beginning when they come on, they're like, oh my God, am I in trouble? And so for that purpose, we want to see how they're going to respond to positive, constructive criticism, and give them goals to hit. And when they don't hit those goals the next week, the next month, we ask them why, and then we watch to see how they respond. And we have had like a couple that just didn't work out. And the biggest thing that I learned from doing the one-on-ones and giving people KPIs, and I literally saw it in my practice, is they'll either move up or they'll move out of your business. And it happened with one of my SDs and another employee. I gave them goals. They didn't hit it. And then they gave us their 2-week notice after that. And I was like, well, there you go. It was an easy, easy thing. So that stuck to me from a business coach of mine that told me everybody needs goals, and I'll either move them up in your practice or they'll move them out. And now seeing it like in real life, it's easier. It makes me not be scared or worried to kind of push someone.
Yeah, we say here, coach them up or coach them out.
Yeah.
Whichever one you choose. And at some point you have to self-select, right? As an employee, to self-select to either buy in and do it or not do it. And it's hard. Like our jobs here are crazy fast-paced. I demand excellence. I'm sure people probably know that. They probably hate me for it. But our employees are phenomenal and they perform really well. It's a high performing team. If you're not a high performer, you kind of get called out by your teammates, not just me. Like your teammates are like, hey, you're dead weight here. You know, now the whole team coaches each other. It's like lateral coaching, and you know, they're encouraging each other and they're working together to do their own projects to improve, you know, productivity. It doesn't require me anymore because they're so used to doing it with each other, with me, that they work on their own. Like they can kind of go forth and prosper without me. And so I think at some point it's like a mother. You see your children start to do things on their own. You're like, oh, she can dress herself in the morning. She can feed herself in the morning. It's such a proud moment, but it's really made a big difference in our business for sure. That, you know, we kind of cut through a lot of the, oh, you're doing a great job. And then they get fired a month later. It's like, what do you mean I got fired? Well, you were actually terrible. I just didn't have the balls to tell you that. You know, I hate that. I'm like, don't fire someone or give them a, you know, a PIP or an IDP or these plans if they don't know why they're there. They haven't had months to kind of figure out that you're not happy with them and to improve their performance. So I believe that corporate America wholeheartedly. I'm glad it's making its way into the med spa world and that you're teaching it to others. Which brings me to kind of touch on your training a little bit here at the end. You're obviously everywhere training all the time. What balance of your time is spent doing that? And how do you make time for that amongst, I mean, again, you're very high touch as a leader in your company, amongst all the other jobs that you're doing?
It's hard. It is hard for sure. I think still I'm trying to find balance, to be completely transparent. You know, I have people that message me and they're like, can I shadow you? I had somebody the other day that was like, oh, I don't want to wait till October till you have this course. Can you have one sooner? I'm like, no, I can't have one sooner. It's hard, but for me, I see it as a way to give back, and I see it as a way to build the industry to be better in 5 years from now. And so I try to at least take out whether that's 1 to 2 days a month. Obviously, this month was a little bit crazier in traveling and training. And then I just decrease my clinic days when I do that. And then I augment with my other team of injectors here. But yeah, it's very hard. It's not like right now I'm like completely dead from the full 3 days of training 10 injectors a day in Canada. But I love it. And so for me, I'll never stop teaching and training because it truly gives me joy. And the look on their faces and even the injectors from this weekend, they were like, how you taught and your calmness, it just was such a nice environment to learn, and I took away all these pearls, and that makes me feel good. This is my way to just be able to give back to the new injectors in the industry. But yeah, it's I don't have it. I don't have the answer.
When
It's
you figure
crazy.
out how to get balance, you call me and let me know. Send me the silver bullet because I need one. But I did watch you because I'm a big observer. As you guys who know me know, I've been doing the training thing for quite some time, and I love to watch people train to figure out what I want them to do for me. Where can they fit into the aesthetic next, or even with different things that we're doing. And you're a very calm trainer. You are not scary. You don't seem like I'm a bull in a china cabinet always, as everyone knows that about me. You're not. You're so understanding and like helping them figure things out with the cadaver lab. And anatomy is like hard anyway, and you made them feel very understood where they had a gap. So I can envision that's a big thing for you. I feel like Erica's much more like me. She's kind of like, well, I'm here. We're here, we're wild. So I'm sure you're a good yin and yang. But to that point, there's two of you now that are doing this a lot together. You're doing it on your own as well. How do you organize it? I think the biggest thing people forget about is like you have to organize this stuff. Someone has to pay the bills, get the travel booked. When you get there, is the practice ready for you? Do they have models lined up? Are consent signed? Do you have video and photo releases done? Like, it's a lot of shit. Trust me, for the static next to do it times 85 models, it's horrible. Do you have a person who's doing all your logistics for you, or are you doing it? Are you guys doing it together? Like, how does that get mastered? Because that's where the wheels always fall off.
Yeah, that's first of all, you are like superwoman with aesthetic necks. I am in awe, and you are my goals because I could not even imagine all the things that you have to do. But so for my personal trainings, I have my practice manager that helps me be able to contact models and book models and get all the releases and consents and all of that. My whole practice does it. With Injectors Club, when we travel, Erica and I are definitely very much yin and yang. And so she handles all the social media and all the marketing and all the promoting. And I usually do all the paperwork stuff. And if there's a PowerPoint to do, I'll put it together and then we kind of review it, which is a good balance, I think. And we talked about that even this weekend because I'm a big numbers girl. And she's like, I don't want to know about KPIs. Don't tell me anything about KPIs. I don't understand them. And her husband is like me. And I was like, you have to have a yin and yang in every relationship. And so she mostly manages the marketing and helps with the training, obviously, and then promoting. And then I do all the boring stuff, so to speak.
Well, all the things that keep you legally out of hot water, if you will. But I think people forget about that. They think about Instagram, or they don't have a curriculum. I have lots of friends who are, I say friends, colleagues who are new to the industry, a couple years in, and they're going to have a training academy. Like, do you even know what curriculum should, what you should even be teaching? Like, you've only been to like four trainings yourself. How do you know what it looks like to have objectives and even like CME things? And if your training could not qualify for CME, you're not doing it right. Like, if it cannot qualify for CME at that level of sophistication and of impact, to me, it's not worth charging someone to come do it. Then it's just like you teaching your friend how to inject. It's not a true course with a start and a finish and learning objectives and, looking at practice outcomes and did I change their behavior? Like, I think that should be like your gut check. If it's not that, then it probably isn't really training. It's more pop culture funsies. I know that you guys do is like action-packed curriculum. You have the whole shebang kind of all lined out. But it takes all that because what happens is if it's not good, that word of mouth can also hurt you, right? It's a double-edged sword. If it's not good, they're going to come on social media or tell their friends, don't pay for that. It wasn't worth it. I spent $2,000 and got nothing out of it. And so I think you've got to really manage expectations there, like what you're going to offer. And you guys are obviously doing a great job with it. So how much more do you have this year with Injectors Club and with your trainings? I'm sure you're booked out till December.
With Injectors Club, we don't have any. We were going to do an October training, like a big one here in San Antonio. And our schedules, something came up to where we just had to reschedule. So probably not till 2024. But we do have some new projects that we're excited about coming down the pipeline for IC. It won't be completely a training. It'll be more tools that you can use in your practice. And so we'll be working and putting our energy into that the rest of the year. But yeah, me personally, in my own practice and teaching academy, yeah, I have a lot of trainings coming up. That's why we couldn't even move anything.
Could you give us a tease about what kind of tools you're bringing out? Because now I want to know what's coming out. Just give us drop a little bit of a knowledge nugget on us that we can kind of figure it out on our own.
It'll be, how do I say it without saying it? Kind of a tool to help patients know all the things for your practice all the time. For each individual practice.
I love it. Mm-hmm. Okay, when you get ready to launch this, I want to see it. I want to see it here first. I want to look at the beta for this. But
okay.
As we wrap up all of this, I want to touch on Patreon really quickly because you're one of the initial Patreon, like one of the first big Patreon people. I think it's, or at least it's doing it really consistently and as a true training environment. Give us the deets on Patreon because I can't figure out, you know, when I came up, it was like what you went to for like, you know, not nice things that you'd go pay to see. Now it's become this big training platform, like almost like a learning management system. What are you doing with Patreon? Is it worth it for you to do it? Is it more altruistic, like you love to do it? Or is it actually like a revenue producing kind of thing? And is it a good idea to, you know, go open up a Patreon?
Patreon is another full-time job, to be completely honest. And if it wouldn't have been for Erica pushing me to do it, I probably, in complete transparency, would not have even thought to do it. But it's a subscription platform. Mine, I do a lot of business discussions and share my business pearls, kind of like what we did here today, and just talk about what helped me. And it's been so rewarding. It's a full-time job. I post all the time. I'm working in the morning, working at night, after I get home. If my family's still asleep, I'll make a couple of posts. But it's been more rewarding than Instagram for me because it's, for injectors, it's like continuing medical education is how I tell it. It's, yes, you can go to a conference. Yes, you can do a training, but this is education in your fingertips. Just like Netflix, you can turn on the TV and pick a show and watch it. And you can do the same thing with your Patreon late at night. If you want to learn about forehead Botox, you can do that. So for me, it's been really rewarding because the amount of feedback from injectors that were like, oh my God, thank you so much. I had no idea what the heck KPIs were. Or thank you for explaining Botox and the glabella and that technique and with that dosage. And that's way better and more satisfying to me personally than an Instagram post that goes viral because there's no return. Like you don't even know if that's going to continue to benefit you down the road versus these injectors are hungry. They want to learn. They want to be better. And then the business aspect of things, Tiffany, people need help. They do not know what they are doing. It is shocking. And some of these poor, poor, poor injectors have been in practice for 5 years surviving. And I'm like, oh my goodness, but here's some advice. Here's some tools that can help your practice. But I truly love it. I enjoy it. It is a lot of work, but it gives me so much joy.
Well, and it has your name on it. I think Instagram, I see great posts all the time. Like, who said that again? Like, I commit the words to memory, but I'm like, I don't know who wrote that post. Like, who did that? And I can't go back and find it because I can't remember who actually did it. I feel like this, I know that it's you. They belong to you, you know, to your community. They learn about you. They know you. But you can also do things in real time. I think as a conference, even SEDEC Next, you know, you're making decks months in advance. So by that point, you know, in September, it's been 2 months. So things have happened, you know, indications have come out. iLight just came out with, you know, from Galderma. Things are changing. And so you can't build in real time for a conference stage. It's just not plausible. But you can have Patreon. You can tackle things as they're coming out right now because you can go online when you have free time and all your free time tonight and make a post, make a video about it. So I feel like it just serves a great need that no one that we just can't do as a Congress, you know, conference kind of thing. We just can't do it, but you guys can. And because it affects you in real time, you can also say, here's what I'm doing in my practice too. Here's how I'm combating this issue, or, you know, whatever else. So I love that idea. And I think you're right. People need a lot of help. I think on marketing, surprisingly a lot of help. I think about lead generation a lot. They bring leads in, they don't call them, they don't follow up with them, they don't nurture them. And they spend all this money, to your point, on Google Ads and things, and they don't actually convert anyone. We just launched a marketing software here. It's still kind of in a quiet phase called Lead AR for that reason. Automations. Like, what if somebody could just call your practice and you don't answer? You get a text back saying, hey, we missed your call. What can I help you with? And then a bot helps you get them booked or whatever else. These are things that cost you tiny amounts of money compared to like all the marketing spend that you're doing, and will convert patients. But it's like they don't think about that quite yet. And automations are just such a big part of it. And SMS marketing and email marketing, and then of course in the actual practice, like not being wasteful of your supplies and your medical supplies, and you know, giving things away for free all the time. And back bar, there's just so much to do, Shakira.
I know.
Teach us. So if we're looking for more business content, how do we get a hold of your Patreon channel? How do we get a hold of your IC page? Give us all the ways to connect with you on the business side of it. Because injecting wise, we know how to find you. Lips don't lie, Shakira. But give us the business part of it.
So for business, you can go to www.injectorsclub.com. And then we have our webinars, our tools for your practice, and any trainings that we will have coming up. And for my Patreon, it's just patreon.com/lipstonelieshakira.
I love that. I was just laughing. I sent you a DM the other day about Erica was doing her faculty reel, and she says your name and starts dancing on the video. I was like, you can't say your name and not want to dance and be happy, which I think is such a wonderful thing. If I could have been a fly on the wall from that very first little room till now, all the things and the struggles that you went through, you know, but looking back on it, was it worth it? That's the thing I always think about, like knowing where you are right now. If you could choose it again, would you choose to be an employee at someone else's med spa, or would you own your own? I hear people often will say, ugh, if I could have just been an employee, not done this whole entrepreneur thing. But how much do you love owning your own business?
I love it. I can't go back. I love every aspect of business. And you know, what's funny is, my dad is a business owner, and I always used to say, and he works all day, kind of like you and me, like all the time, he's constantly working. And I used to tell myself watching him, like, I'm not going to be like that. I'm just going to like work somewhere else, let somebody else worry about it. And I've been thinking about it lately, and I called him and I said, hey dad, I just want you to know that I love you and I'm grateful for all the sacrifices that you did. And even though you couldn't come to my dance rehearsal, even though you couldn't come to see my ballet, but I am your daughter and I am just like you. And I'm so happy I am. He started crying because he felt so guilty as a parent that he wasn't there all the time. But I love business. It's time consuming. I try to incorporate my family with it. My husband works here as well. My son comes all the time, but it gives me so much joy. I can't go back.
Yeah. Once it's in my DNA too. My dad owned businesses and I was doing payroll from an early age, and it's a very similar story. I thought I'll never do that. And even here, I don't own a set record, but I feel like I do. It's my life, much like I'm sure many of you know that ever text me in the middle of the night, I'm always on working, but it just is who you are, you know, like to make and create something is just a different kind of person. And we're also just probably built for it, right? When you come from that as your whole life, you're built for the abuse, frankly, to do it all. But I'm glad that you own your own practice, that you're doing all these things. So if you guys want to get a hold of Shakira, you can go to Lips Don't Lie Shakira on Instagram. You can go to injectorsclub.com, julesmedspa.com. Go to her Patreon channel. She's mentioned patreon.com/lipsdontlieshakira. So all the ways, buy a conference pass for AN to watch her in both the clinical track and the business track. And then stay tuned for all of her own personal trainings that she's doing all over everywhere, but also Injectors Club trainings as well. Go online there and buy the damn consultation pack, because I wanted someone to bring it here and let me see what it looks like, because I got to know. But also the webinars and things they have for sale there too. So Shakira, I've loved having you on today. It was worth the wait. Any last words you want to share with us before we roll off today?
No, thank you so much, Tiffany. You're amazing. I love learning from you as well. I just think you're such a powerhouse, and seeing that all the things that you've done for our industry with Aesthetic Next and how you continue to give with podcasts like these, I'm just very grateful. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Well, you are so welcome. And it's guests like you who have such great things to say and tell that make it so much better every single episode. So well, I will see all the rest of you guys next week for another episode of For the Record. And Shakira, I'll see you in September in Dallas, Texas. Bye, guys.
Bye. It's a date.
Thanks for listening to another episode of For the Record. This podcast is not intended to provide legal or medical advice. It's for entertainment, education, and information purposes only. For more information on this week's guest or to get started with Aesthetic Record, email us at info@aestheticrecord.com. Be sure to tune in next week for more fresh perspectives on disrupting the status quo and surviving in the aesthetics industry.